Those verses have nothing to do with what I'm about to say. They would fit perfectly, though, with what Robert had prepared. We'll get to that lesson another time. I hope you had a good Christmas with your family. We did. Both of our kids were in, and Josh is still here. And my brothers and their families were here yesterday, and that was good. And we had a good time among us all, and I hope you did. There's some predictable things that happen around Christmas time, and for me, personally, one thing that I'm going to make sure that I do is watch It's a Wonderful Life. How many of you have watched it in 2025? Go ahead and tell on yourself. Not near as many as I was thinking. What's wrong with y'all? I've watched it twice already by myself. I love it. I probably first discovered this movie back in the early 80s. And I know that my parents grew tired of it because this was back when I guess somebody had bought the rights of it, and you could find it every night, whether it was on TBS or WGN or WOR or whatever. Now it's just shown on TV on NBC, but you can stream it too if you want to. It's a great, great movie, and if you've never seen it, I highly encourage you to look into it. On the surface, I guess you could say it's a Christmas movie, but I don't know if it is really. The last scene in the movie is surrounded by a Christmas tree. It is Christmas time, but the movie itself doesn't have a whole lot to do with Christmas. What it has to do at the heart, it's a story about worth, it's a story about purpose, and it's a story about the unseen impact of a faithful life. Now, the main character, a guy named George Bailey, he is a man who sees himself as a failure. His dreams for himself, they never come true. He wanted to get out of the small town of Bedford Falls. He wanted to build things. He wanted to travel. And none of that came to fruition for him. His sacrifices that he made for himself and for everyone around him, they seemed to go unnoticed. He feels small and insignificant. And at his lowest moment in life and in the movie, he wonders a question that I would venture to guess that many people over the years have asked themselves quietly, does my life really matter? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Does my life really matter? See, this is not just a George Bailey question. This is a human question. It's also a spiritual question. And so tonight, I want to take this wonderful movie and pull 4 points out of it tonight and see if we can learn a few things. About it and ourselves. You know, George Bailey was not a villain. He was not a lazy person. He worked. He worked for his dad and his Uncle Billy at the Bailey Brothers building and loan. He had a good work ethic. He was not an immoral person. But here's what he did. When it came time to choose between going off on a trip and staying home and taking care of his family and other people, that's what he did. He stayed home. He kept the building and loan up and running. You know, that was the family business, and they helped a lot of people who were low income that didn't want to be dependent on old man Mr. Potter. And so he helped a lot of working families. He chose responsibility over his own personal ambition. And yet, he felt like his life was a failure. There's a key scene in the movie where he says, "I suppose it would have been better if I'd never been born." What a question that is. And you know, it reveals something that's very, very important about life, and here is this. Feelings are powerful. Feelings are powerful, but they're not reliable indicators of truth. Feelings are powerful, but they're not reliable indicators of truth. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 17. Starting in verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. He who makes a fortune unjustly is like a partridge that hatches eggs it didn't lay. In the middle of his life, his riches will abandon him, so in the end, he will be a fool. A glorious throne on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Lord, the hope of Israel, all who abandon you will be put to shame. All who turn away from me will be written in the dirt, for they have abandoned the Lord, the fountain of living water. And then over in 1 Kings chapter 19, we find Elijah, and this is talking about his journey to Horeb. Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "May the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there, but he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He said, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him. The angel told him, "Get up and eat." Then he looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him, and he said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." So he got up, ate and drank. Then on the strength from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God, and he entered a cave, and there he spent the night. Why read these two passages of Scripture? Well, here's the point. Godly people can be overwhelmed. They can be exhausted. And they can feel worthless, even while living faithfully. Here's an application for us. Being faithful doesn't always feel successful. But it is right, and it is good to be faithful. Obedience doesn't always look impressive, but it is right, and it is good to be obedient. A life surrendered to God may feel disappointing by the world's standards. But we're not judged by the world's standards, are we? We're judged by God. And He's asked us to obey Him, to be faithful to Him. And what will happen if we are? We're given a crown of life. So even faithful people can feel like failures. You know, Clarence Oddbody, AS2, Angel Second Class, for those of y'all not in the know. He shows George Bailey around Bedford Falls to see what life would have been like had he not been born. George had a tremendous impact on that town. Had George Bailey not been born, his younger brother, Harry, would have drowned. And because Harry would have drowned, a lot of other people would have lost their lives later on in the war. There would be no building and loan building, and so there would be all of these people who were still destitute and still reliant on the mean tyrant, Mr. Potter. His family would look very different. Lives would be harder. Lives would be colder. Lives would be darker. And you know what George didn't see at the time, which my guess is you and I don't see right now, is the impact that we're having on life and on other people while we're living it. We just don't think in terms of that, or at least I don't. You know, one person can impact the entire world. You don't believe me? Walk with me on this little mind journey. The first question is not fair, because I'm going to assume that everybody in this room knows who I am, okay? If you don't, my name's Bill. We can have a conversation later. But if you know me, I have impacted your life in some way, whether for good, hopefully not for bad, but I have made a mark on your life. Now, if you think about your life and every single person that you know, because you know me, that means I've impacted them as well because of my influence on you. And then you think about all of those people that know you, and then think about all the people that know them. This could get really confusing in my simple brain, but you see the point. It spreads. It's the ripple effect, or the butterfly effect, or some kind of effect, right? One person can impact the entire world, if you think about it. Don't sell yourself short. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Send your bread on the surface of the water, for after many days you may find it. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you don't know what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full, they will pour out rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. One who watches the wind will not sow, and the one who looks at the clouds will not reap. Listen to this, verse 5. Just as you don't know the path of the wind or how the bones develop in the womb of a pregnant woman, so also you don't know the work of God who makes everything. And then over in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can corruption inherit incorruption. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible body must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility and this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the works of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We often judge our lives by what we didn't accomplish, where we didn't go, who we didn't become, but God judges by faithfulness, not fame. Think of it this way: a banker, a parent, a teacher, a church member, a quiet servant. Sometimes their greatest influences are often invisible. They're just not seen. For you, your impact could be this: a conversation that you had with someone, which may have seemed insignificant to you, but to the hearer, it meant everything. You took time to listen. You gave good advice. You let them know that you cared. Maybe it was the kindness that you showed to the person that doesn't look like you, doesn't come from the same background as you, maybe doesn't dress like you, maybe doesn't smell like you, but you stopped and you gave them attention. You had compassion. You showed kindness when nobody else would. Maybe it's just the life that you're living, and it's good. It's good. You always treat people kindly. You watch what you say. You invite people to church. You give people an example that's worth following. Maybe that's the impact that you're having, and you don't even realize it because you're just looking at yourself through your eyes, but you're not seeing yourself through somebody else's eyes. And see, God sees it all. He sees the good that you do. He also, unfortunately, sees the bad that we do. And so we need to think really hard about the impact that we're making and that we want to make on other people. George, in the story, in the movie, he learned something very powerful. The world was worse without him in it. He thought it wouldn't be that big of a deal, right? I don't matter. People are better off without me. What did Mr. Potter tell him? You're worth more dead than alive. And he bought into that. But it wasn't true. Because without him and all of the good that he was doing in that little town, when he had his eyes open to what was not, it was a bad place. Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It's lofty. I'm unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely The darkness will hide me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Listen at this. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formed, when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Acts 17:26 talks about God determining the time and the place for our lives. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we were created for good works, prepared beforehand. What does this mean? No one is accidental. No one is accidental. No life is replaceable. No sacrifice is wasted. Clarence's line in the movie, "You've been given a good, great gift, George." He was talking in that instance about being able to see what life would have been like had he not existed. But what really was the good, great gift that George had been given? The same thing that you've been given. Life. So the question is, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with your life that you've been given? The greatest gift is not success. The greatest gift is not wealth. It's life lived in God's purpose. How can we apply this a little bit better? Every life is intentionally designed by God. Just know this. Your life matters. Wherever you are, your life matters. Your influence matters. Even if you feel like it's not noticed, your influence matters. You've been placed for a very specific reason. And you may not know what that is just yet. But it's not for your glory. It's for God's. At the end of the movie, there's a couple of interesting things that one's never been explained. And I know I'm like ruining this movie for you guys that have never seen it, but oh well, it's your fault. Uncle Billy has some forgetfulness, and so he always has to tie a string around his finger to remember, you know, what he's done. And he gets excited and wants to rub it in Mr. Potter's face that one of the Bailey boys, Harry in this case, has had some success. And he leaves $8,000 accidentally in Mr. Potter's newspaper. Now, what's never explained is Mr. Potter just ignored the fact that he found this money. You know, the movie just kind of ends with, I guess he kept it. That's how he got rich, I guess. I don't know. But at the end, George is running for his life. That's why he, you know, wishes that he'd never been born. That's why he was having a come apart, because he thought his life was over because he had misplaced this money and he owed it and he didn't want to go to jail and he thought life was just going to come to a screeching halt. But at the end of the movie, after he had experienced what life would be like without him, and he says, I want to live again. He comes home expecting consequences. But instead, what he found was the people that he had been helping all through his life, they showed up. They showed up to help him. So they brought their money, which most of them probably didn't have a lot of extra to give, but because he had been so good to them, they were paying it back. They brought their support, and most importantly, they brought their love to him. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. We read these verses a lot. Encourage one another, right? Not forsaking the assemblies, encouraging one another. Galatians 6, 2, bearing one another's burdens. Luke 15, 7, talking about the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep and ultimately the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, heaven rejoices over one soul that comes home. Here's the lie that George believed. I'm alone. George believed the lie, I'm alone. The truth was, he was deeply loved by his mother, by his wife, by his four children, by all the town folks, by his brother Harry, by Bert the cop, Ernie the taxi driver. I guess that's where Sesame Street got it. I don't know. He's loved by the whole town except Mr. Potter, but who cares about him, right? Got to have a bad guy in a movie. Here's a couple of things for you to think about. We need each other more than we realize. You know, when you're having a bad day and you're down, isolation feeds despair. So don't stay by yourself. Get out amongst the people. Be around people who can encourage you, who can love on you, who can take care of you. Because my guess is you've probably loved on them and took care of them before as well. Community restores hope. Being around good people. I get excited, not like jumping up and down excited, but I do get excited every time that I know I'm coming to church. Why? Because I get to see you guys. I do care about you, even though I don't know if I communicate that in an effective way. I do. And I hope you feel that way about me, because I need you in my life. I'm glad you are. How thankful are you that you have a church family, that if you're struggling, you can pick up the phone and call somebody, and they will be there. People that don't belong to a church family don't have that. They may be getting it from somewhere else, but it's probably not near as healthy as what this church family provides. And you know, God often works through people, I think, to save people. I don't know how all the Spirit works, but I think this is one way. He knows that we need each other. And so when we lean into each other and we get comfort and we get solace and we get strength and we get encouragement from each other, what a blessing that is. This movie ends with a simple but powerful truth. A wonderful life is not a perfect life, but it is a faithful one. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5? You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand. And it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Not so they admire you, so they will glorify God. So if you've ever felt invisible, unimportant, disappointed, overlooked, I want you to hear this very clearly. Your life matters. Your faithfulness counts. And your story is still being written for God's glory. You remember this phrase? It was written in the book, Tom Sawyer. No man is a failure who has friends. But even more importantly than that, no one is a failure whose life is held in the hands of God. Living a life that matters. All of us have one. If you're struggling tonight and you need the prayers of this church family, we're here for you. If you have not begun your Christian walk through baptism, everything is prepared. There's no reason for you to wait any longer if this is something that you've been thinking about doing. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, would you please come as we stand and sing?